This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary superintelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk is brought to you by Pub Beer, the official beer of cheap fun.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Bro.
Guys, move on.
It's not breaking news.
I think it's real exciting.
At the pub.
Just balls, Barry. Yeah, uneducated beer. 30 people don't.
I am in a unit mood.
I love COVID.
Yep, you can feel it kind of harden, and then you just yank.
I kind of wanted to see the wang.
Bodies fall out of persons.
Buy two windows and get two windows free. So if you need eight windows, you get eight windows free. No. Four windows free. Does that make sense? Wait. Eight, two, four. Yep. Four. No, eight.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
Oh, dear.
I have sports things.
me. Sports.
Why did they do that? Me. Why did they do that?
I think this is how you, I think it's a cheap thing of warming up. Like, I don't think anyone warms up that way, but I think that's the whole, you know.
Why were we told that?
I don't know.
Why were we given that fake news?
Because someone at some point did something along those lines.
Duval.
Do, re, mi, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I can't sing or hit a note, so I wouldn't know.
I can sing. I don't need that crap.
You tell me, like, what the key is in. I don't know. What sort of pitch we're using. I can't.
Rocket to the dog.
I'm not the songbird of our generation.
I didn't need a me before doing that.
I remember,
you,
like,
got another thing.
I remember, like, our music teacher used that little, they would, like, blow into that little thing. Big.
Yeah, the tuner.
As if a bunch of 12-year-olds had any idea what, okay, this.
Come
your
on.
Sixth grade choir was totally going to be on key after that.
I'm like, thanks, you know, Mrs. Schroeder. I'm going to get right on that.
Well, a couple sports things. The Blazers are locked in a battle with the Wizards.
It is a vicious cockfight right now.
104-99 with 7.5 left. They are winning.
Who can tank harder? It's going to be the Wizards.
And we also had a buzzer beater tonight. I don't know if you saw the Michigan State game.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Well, we didn't.
No, you brought up the fact that Michigan State was playing
Maryland. At
Eight
Maryland.
Versus 16, something like that?
Yeah, big game.
I texted you guys the vid.
It's really cool. Michigan State hits a beyond half court game winner buzzer beater shot type thingy out there.
And yet,
it was cool because it was tied, and Maryland missed their winning shot attempt, but there was enough time left that Michigan State with the rebound could do the heave and
it went in, and they went crazy, stunning the Terps.
And Tom Izzo still looked miserable because that's who Tom Izzo is.
So, well,
now it's too late. We have to start this next.
We do.
But
that was your sports thing, or was there another?
Yeah, just a couple sports things. You know, we're sports guys.
I'm gay.
A married couple was forced to sit next to a woman's body on a flight. 15 hours.
It's a long flight.
That's a lot fall out of Hershes.
When did they know that she was dead?
Well, I'll tell you the whole story.
Yeah, I need this. Because, look, context, right? I'm not here to make any sort of sweeping judgment.
And by the way, I remember we were talking earlier. I was teasing this story, and I couldn't remember who it was that we knew that said that they flew on a flight with a dead body, and they rolled the dude back to where the waitress, or the waitress.
Yeah, back at the bar.
The
rumble seat back there.
What do you call the
galley?
No, but what do you call the stewardesses?
Flight attendants.
God,
sounds like two words. I was like, where are we going?
Flight attendant.
That? Yeah.
So they rolled him back to the.
They rolled him. They probably carried.
No,
him
I think they maybe. Just kicked him and rolled him and.
Well, there's no room to roll.
Threw him.
Probably. I'm guessing respectfully drug.
Respect. How do you respectfully drag?
Well, there's a difference between I can draw you a drag and a respectful drag. Those are two totally different things. The unrespected drag is probably you're just aha videoing up and down the aisle. You're bumping into things and you're going fast. A respectful drag is making sure hands are tucked in, maybe put them in the pockets, and then ankles, not hands. And then you do a slow, controlled.
Ankles, not hands.
Yes.
Why is it more respectful to drag by the ankles?
Well, I think when you're going by the ankles, you have a little more control, whereas the hands, I think, are a little more willy-nilly. You know, it's heavier on the bottom end. I think the respectful drag is with the feet.
I think if you're dragging with the feet, though, then the head's bumping
along, right? Yeah, I agree. I think you go underarms. I think that's the most respectful way.
But then I got to carry a dead body. And if I'm going to do that, why don't I just get someone to get the feet and then we both carry?
Well, you could, but you got to be respectful. And I think if you're talking about being respectful.
Why? You're talking about dragging.
If you're being respectful, well, no, you said respectfully drag.
Yes.
So if you are going to respectfully drag, the best way to do that, I would think, is under the arms.
Under the armpits, kind of backing up.
Under the armpits. So the head is, you know.
Look, I would like to amend my respectful drag. I was thinking handsies, feetsies, but you guys have offered the third option. That's the more respectful drag.
Yeah. Because then.
I was just trying to keep the dead body off of the person having to drag. Because if you're going under arms, man, you are right up against it.
No, you are.
Whereas the hands and feet, I got a little more separation.
Understood, but that then is not respectful. Because you are sacrificing the space for respect for the deceased.
It is true.
Anyway. The person who was on the flight with the dead body was Masters Pete.
And he's listening. Yeah.
And he texted me. He reminded me that he has a photo of the guy's dangling feet back in the galley.
That's tough.
Well, because he was in first class.
Yeah, of course. Masters Pete. Yeah.
Stunning turn of events.
Our reach knows no bounds.
And he said they stopped drink service because of that, because he died.
You think someone was unhappy about that?
Pete was.
Pete's ringing the bell. He's like, hey, what? What I can't.
I'd like to cheers our deceased.
I can't respectfully.
If anything, you need booze more.
Agreed.
I can't respectfully step over said corpse.
So there's a blanket over his feetsies sticking out from around the corner. It's kind of wild.
You know what? That's a tough call for the
it's
stewardess.
I mean, look.
I get it.
They have protocols and
I understand.
Whatnot, but I'd be slinging all kinds of drinks.
Well, isn't there a drink at the front, too? They're only in the back?
What do you mean?
Well, because there's a front galley, there's a back galley. They only keep the
first class, though.
Keep the boozy in the back?
Well, first class is free. Hmm. You get everything free.
Yeah. So that's up there.
And he said, Pete is in. He's listening. He said that's what they did. They went underarms.
Again,
it's the proper way.
It is. That we now know the proper way to respectfully drag.
Yeah.
This is a Curb Your Enthusiasm plot. the way to respectfully drag a dead body.
Well, you want something? You know what? This is bad, but this is a true story. I was talking to it. This goes to an unrespectful.
Is this long?
No. But okay. This is why you don't go by the hands. This is the unrespectful. Buddy was a cop.
Pants.
Came into a situation, dead body. And so one went feet and one went hands. The dead body had been there for a little bit. And so they put on the gloves. And when he went to grab by the arms, the hands to lift up. The skin came off.
Oh, wow.
And so it just...
Whoops.
How long was his body there?
He's there for a bit.
Okay. Yeah,
he's there for a bit. When they were trying to get it out, he said he went to pick it up and the skin slid off like a pair of gloves.
Oh, no.
Dropped it, and that is not respectful.
How do you rectify that, though? What are you supposed to do?
I think at that point they went cheat.
Try to put the skin back on?
Yeah, you just...
Do you patch the skin? Like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
Well, if it slid off like a glove, could it go back on like a glove?
No, I think at that point you just put it on the... You know, you just put it with the body. Maybe stuff
kick it to the kick his skin to the side. And
That is a true story. He said that happened to him, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, what was I going to tell you?
Well, I think we got a break.
Oh, yeah.
Then we come back with more respectful dragging talk.
Yeah, this happened on a flight recently, and we'll tell you all about it next. Yeah, so real quick, the Master's Pete story, they were on a flight from Hawaii, so nowhere to land.
No.
Emergency style, unless you just want to drop them into the ocean.
Bin Laden style, you just wrap them and...
Well, I mean, it is the way some people...
Can you request that?
Well, so guy had a heart attack in first class, dead in seconds. Couldn't revive him.
That's what happened on Succession, right? Old Logan Roy.
Yeah. That's right.
Down and out.
In the crapper.
Underarm drag to the front galley.
Respectfully. Underarm drag.
And they were stepping over him while... Well, they stopped drink service because the body was in the way. Yeah. That's why they stopped drink. Not, look, we've got a dead guy we can't drink. It's like, we want to drink, but there's a body in front of our booze.
That is problematic.
So they had to kind of stay out of that area. So that's what happened. Anyway,
I'd like to believe that someone complained. Excuse me.
I certainly would.
There's a lot of insensitivity on that plane.
Well, you know, those drawers that they pull out with the booze in them?
Yeah.
Not all of them are on the bottom level, blocked by the body.
Yeah. Take them and put them in the little apron that you got on, and then
that's right.
I'll tell you what, I can step over that body and help myself.
Boy, would you have the balls to step over a recently deceased body to grab a little bottle of Buffalo Trace?
I have gone back to the galley, though, and just opened up one of those drawers and grabbed a beer because I felt like it. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, you got to have some balls to step over a deceased person to grab. You better be careful because that's on video and now you're going viral.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that.
That's tough.
I tell you what, though, I am thinking about it.
It's a long flight.
First class. Yeah. The flight attendant goes to the back.
Yeah.
And you're considering asking the flight attendant to do it for you. Man, do you think you could just step over him and just grab me a little bottle right there?
Hey, real quick, man, I'll be 2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the better question would be, would you do it if no one was watching? Because you know people are watching you.
You don't want that answer.
No one's watching. The answer is yes. The only reason you don't do it is because everyone else is watching. Yeah,
it's a societal shame thing. But if no one's watching, like, the amount of things that people will do if they know that no one's watching, I don't think there is any level that people won't sink to. And honestly, this isn't even near the bottom.
No,
this is.
But it does change things if people are watching.
Yeah, well, you look like a real ass. And you probably...
And you know you are.
You know you are, but, you know... I didn't... Well, it's one thing. I didn't know the person. Stranger.
Exactly. And he's dead. Like, what does he care?
He doesn't care. I'll tell you right now. I give you permission. If we're flying somewhere and I die, and my big bloated corpse is in the way, step right over me. I don't care. I'm dead.
Is that what I... Is that then... So everyone goes, oh,
no.
And then I have to turn to him like, no, he told me it's okay.
He said it's fine.
We talked about this on our show. We're radio hosts. I mean,
and they're like, oh, sure, you talked about this.
Yeah, right.
No, seriously, we did.
We had this conversation.
So this was on a flight from Melbourne, Australia to Doha, Qatar.
Okay.
Qatar.
Long way.
Qatar.
Yeah, I still, to this day, don't know if it's Qatar or Qatar. I think it's Qatar.
I believe both are accepted, but Qatar is preferred.
Which doesn't sound right.
Qatar sounds wrong, but I think it's Qatar.
Qatar is like a racing team from a bicycle movie from the 70s. It's not quite the same.
An unidentified female passenger suffered a medical emergency in the aisle during the flight.
Yeah.
It's on Qatar Airways.
Yeah.
Okay. Unfortunately, she died.
This is terrible.
So they tried to wheel her up towards business class, but apparently she was a large woman, and they couldn't get her through the aisle. So there was this Australian couple who was sitting just a few seats from the death, from the deceased.
Sure.
And they...
As you said, we were...
Well, yes, they put her... They asked the two to move over.
Whoa.
Move over. So she, he gets the middle. She's now on the window. And they put the dead lady in the aisle seat.
And so it's full flight. There's nowhere else for them to sit, I'm assuming.
Well...
Because you would think that if you're going to put her there, you would think you would just move the two other people.
They said that they couldn't... According, that's a little unclear, but according to this, they could not move her. Well, no, and so they needed to put her in that seat.
I'm just saying, that has to be a jam-packed flight, because you would think that they would just move the two non-dead people to non-dead seats. But the fact that they were by the dead lady means there was no available seats.
Yeah, possibly. Or, well, yeah. Or maybe they just didn't think about it.
No, they thought about it. Trust me. Look, if you're if someone dies on my plane and I'm sitting there with the BTJ and we got an empty seat next to us and they say, excuse me, you two, we're going to dump this dead body. My first thing is, hey, no problem. Where am I sitting? And they're like,
oh, no, you're right there.
No, you're right there. And I'm like, no. I saw first class seats. And they're like, well, you bought a coach ticket. Well, guess what, jackass? I am about to get upgraded because you're not sticking a big dead woman next to me. So the only way that happens is that there's no other seats. Otherwise, they move you.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hugs.
And quite frankly, before you dump the big lady next to me, we're going to talk about what sort of perks I'm about to receive, because I feel some flight coupons in my future.
What a selfish a-hole you are.
You are not.
Just move over. There's a dead lady.
You are not sticking a big Midwestern gal made for the plains next to me.
Thinking like some Bavarian milkers.
Yeah, we're getting something out of this. There's some coops coming my way.
So the guy, so it's an older couple, and the guy says they just basically came to him and said, can you move over, please? And he said, no problem. They were struggling. It was a bad scene. And so then he said they placed the lady in the chair that he said they placed the lady in the chair that I was in.
Yeah.
A shocking photo of the grim ordeal captured by the man. Is
he snapped a photo?
Well, there's a picture here.
What do we got?
Let me show you what. That's him watching TV with the dead.
Oh my goodness!
Next to him, and he's just got his headphones on, just
watching some
catching
up on Breaking Bad or whatever.
Watch TV. So then the worst part is yet to come.
Gets worse.
It does get worse. He claims he spent 4 hours. Sitting next to her body. They covered her in a blanket.
Sure.
So when they land, the couple... Now, they were flying to Italy.
Okay.
They said the airline crew told them to stay in their seats. They could not step over the dead...
F that.
...to get off the plane.
No.
They had to wait for emergency responders to come in and retrieve
the body. I
had to sit
there the whole time. No. Absolutely not. I'm leaving. I'm sorry.
Tell you that right now. I will shove that old bag out of my way. The amount of free flights that I am about to receive from this airline, I am flying first class wherever the hell I want to go for an extended period of time.
Once we're on the ground, you cannot force me to stay next to that dead body. Sorry, you cannot.
You can't force me to sit next to the dead body, period. You can't. And by the way, I'm a bigger person, so when I sit next to you on an airplane, guess who's touching you? Me. Which means one of them... Whoever had the middle seat was touching the dead woman. There's no way you weren't.
Well, all he said was, I can't believe they told us to stay. It wasn't nice. And now the airline is, they say that they are in the process of reaching out to the couple in the wake of the ordeal.
See, we wouldn't reach out. We would. There would be a negotiation right then and there on the plane.
Well, but they wouldn't do that.
Well, then you're not sticking her next to me.
Well, but there was nowhere else to put her.
I don't care.
Someone else said...
You're not sticking her next to me.
Why doesn't the dead lady get her original seat? Again, it's unclear, but it sounds like reading between the lines of the story that they could not get her back to her seat.
Yeah, that this event occurred not in her seat in the first place. And
we know that the aisle is very small. And
exactly.
So if you're a bigger person, you probably have to turn sideways and you're dead. And again, that goes to the respectful drag. And I get that.
Yeah,
I get it.
So the closest seat was the window where those two were sitting.
Yeah.
They said, hey, scooch over a little bit. Got to drop a dead in here.
Yeah.
And then they made them sit there and wait for the first responders.
That is
that whole thing
that's crazy.
Would not go down that way if that was me. I promise
you.
So
what would you have done? Just stepped over and said, get out of my way?
Yes. You would. I was not going to sit there after we landed and just be like, no, I'm waiting. No. No, that's not happening. And again, you would have had to tell me. Get on the little radio up there with the captain, and I would like to know what sort of benefits this airline is about to do for me, because I'll be good and damned if I spend 15 hours with a dead lady leaning on me, which, by the way, probably smells a little bit at some point, and then...
Does it smell that quick?
Well, after you die, there is a release usually of some fluid. So over 15 hours, yeah, that's not going to be great. You aren't going to then... keep me on that airplane, and then once I get off, and then offer me a $200 coupon. No, 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 no. You want that lady out of the aisle and in my seat next to me, and you want me to move seats? You no. Get on that horn no. With the power of the pen, you get an exec, no. And you start offering me some perks.
What?
Otherwise, I'm not moving. You can't make me. You can't make me sit next to a dead person. I'm pretty sure that violates some sort of federal aviation code. Where's Elon Musk when I need him?
No, it's all in the bylaws. The you just have to scroll down to the perished bylaw.
The dead lady bylaw?
We'll execute the baby.
Good well, anyway, Lord.
I don't know if it would not bother me to sit next to a dead body on a plane, although it would be a little creepy. It wouldn't bother me. But yeah, I'm with you on the last part. Dude, come on.
Yeah.
Also, the YouTube chat pointing out that often the dead will soil themselves. So how long are you sitting there for? I mean, 4 hours seems like a long time.
You don't really have a choice.
For a long time like that, there usually is some leakage. I do have a choice.
No, you don't. What I'm saying is, I think your approach... I would suck it up in the moment and not be a pain in the ass, and I would sit next to the perished. But you better believe I am fighting tooth and nail with them to get everything out of them once it's over. I'm making stuff up. I'm like, well, I was really, you know, I couldn't step over the dead body, so I pooped my pants. You've given me anxiety.
Yeah. I'm gonna have long term trauma from this.
Yes,
event.
I can't sleep. You might as well give me the airline.
Tell you what, my first thing. I'm violating that little no-call thing, and I'm calling the advocates right then and there. Because you know who's getting me first-class seats? Donnie. That's my first phone call. I'm like, yeah. I would just hand the phone with Donnie on the other end to the flight attendant and be like, yeah, talk to my attorney. I think she's got some choice words for you. Yeah, it's a...
All right. We talk SNL next. Here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, after our story of sitting next to a deceased on a plane for 15 hours, somebody texted and said, yeah, I've wished death on some people next to me on a plane in the past. I probably won't anymore.
Nah, that's...
That's right. No. You don't want them... You can maybe wish them death later,
yeah.
But at the time, you don't want them dead next to you. Because no. The other thing Pete said, that, you know, you can't just deplane and everybody steps over the body. He said they sat there, once they landed, they sat there for 2 hours. Mm.
Takes 2 hours?
Yes. I mean, I don't know why, but it does.
I also say that sometimes I think we can speed up those processes.
100%.
They are going to rock your ass for 2 hours. Look, I understand there's regulations, and again, we got to do respectful things, but it does not take 2 hours. Like, you know they're dead. You call ahead. It shouldn't take two hours for some paramedics to be waiting for the airplane.
Well, can
to
I
then
just
go
say,
in and get them out?
Can I just already amend the procedures and say, bring in the gurney, wheel them out, and then do all your paperwork or whatever the hell you have to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We don't need to be on the plane.
Yeah,
while
why
you
do you have to sit there and inconvenience 300 people?
Yeah. How about this? Just do the little slide thing. You know, like have them waiting down there at the slide and hop the door. And, you know,
one last ride for Betty there.
Is that, I don't know how respectful that is, but, you know, yeah, go out with a little whimsy. On there, just go down the slide. No, all that works. Just once, I would. I've never seen the slide deployed, but I'd be interested in it. I'd stick around and watch that.
And would you? I mean, you wouldn't bitch, but would you feel guilty at all sitting there for 2 hours being pissed off about it?
Yes.
You'd feel guilty about that?
I've had that happen before.
Because it's like
where I'm obviously annoyed and I'm bothered, and yet I know it makes me a horrible person, so I don't say anything, but deep down inside I'm angry. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah, but I I'm saying in this particular scenario somebody died.
Yes.
So you should
I would feel terrible, and yet it couldn't change the fact that I would be pissed that we're still sitting on that airplane. I would feel absolutely terrible. Yeah. Yes, someone's mother is dead. Someone is, I feel bad all the time. What was the look, I'm going to be fair to us. We got a job to do. We're not always... You never want to find out from us that someone you know died. Because at times, you know, we...
we talk about deads.
Yeah, we talk about, you know...
We're news.
We're news, but we're
newsmen.
Not... We're not like Walter Cronkite. We're talking about respectful dragging.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you remember when we were the avalanche, the people that died in the avalanche.
Yeah. Just the other day in Bend.
So, my bartender guy out of Jerry's, who I love dearly, he texts me. He is listening to this stupid show, as he does, and he hears us talking about the avalanche. And he has a lot of people that he knows from Bend. He's big into that skiing community, and he's sitting there listening to us, and he's like, oh my god, I hope it's no one I know. And then we said the name, we informed him that his dear family friends were the ones that died in the avalanche. And I immediately felt like an ass, because we are not always the most reverent when it comes to these sorts of things. And I was like, oh my god, I am so sorry, because again, we are the last people that you want to hear that your loved ones are no longer with us.
Why are we the last? Like, what if, I mean, he's going to read it on the news.
He is.
So what's the difference between the news and us? It's not like we made fun of them. We're not going to make.
The news handles it better than.
Or maybe you're expected to get texted from a friend or something like that.
How about this? The news drags from under the arms. We drag from the feet.
That's fair.
That's.
We don't even go. No. We don't even go. Sad voice.
No, we don't have.
Sad news from Bend. We don't even do that.
No, we don't.
Oh, dear. Just power right through it.
So we told him, we told my friend that his dear friends are gone.
Did it make him sad?
I don't think he was thrilled.
Well, I know he wasn't thrilled. I just mean, like, does that, coming from us, does it change how you intake the news?
And it makes me sad.
I don't think it's the best way.
I think I've mentioned this to you guys before, but I accidentally told another football coach of a football coach's passing in like media coverage. I told Herm Edwards that Dennis Green had died.
He didn't know that?
He was out at that Tahoe golf tournament that the athletes play in. And Dennis Green had 49ers ties, so we were talking to all the football people that day about his legacy and what he meant. And he came off of 18, and I was like, and it was like news from early that morning. I assumed every coach out there knew. And I'm like, hey, could you tell us your thoughts? He's like, what happened to Coach? And I was like,
oh dear. Did he know him well? Or
Herm knew him very well. Oh. And then he was playing with Marvin Lewis, who like looked at me and gave me an eye roll. And he's like, come on, Herm. I'm like, what? Okay, I didn't know, man. You could have given him a heads up. Herm knew and didn't tell him.
Do you think someday it will happen where somebody comes up to you and is like, Suk, any thoughts on the death of Rop? And you're like, what?
Ah,
what happened to Rop?
What happened?
I hope not. And then I got to go on the show and break the news.
Well, what if we don't have a show? What if it's down the road and we've been long fired?
Yeah, it's
the band of muffler bros.
And by the way, that's more likely to happen. I would like to believe that we're both going to outlive this show, for God's sakes.
Will one of us die on the show?
I hope not. It's the big one. Ah!
Well, I'd say I'd get good ratings.
That would probably get good ratings. If this show ever starts to take a little bit, look, one of us has to die. We used to always joke in the midst of two-a-days, because back then, like, two-a-days were, like, the worst thing ever. And we used to always joke, because it was obviously really hot, and they were always concerned that someone would, like, die of heat stroke.
Corey Stringer?
So we used to be like, dude, one of us needs to just die and take one for the team, because we'd get, like, 2-3 days off, and then we'd be like, horse crap. They'd give us one practice. We'd get one practice. Then we'd have the big debate that if one of us died, how much of camp would we get off? And we settled on one day.
Well, what the Corey Stringer thing, as Buck mentioned, like, what did they do? They probably practiced. I guarantee they practiced the next day.
That's what I said. I think you get a day off. And by the way, and that's why we said, if you're going to die, you son of a bitch, you die in the morning. That way we get two practices off. But you know we're having to come back the next day. No one, by the way, was.
No one's willing to take one for the team.
No one was willing to do it, but we talked about it.
All right, we got a break. We will wrap it up next on The Fan. Well, we have breaks for a reason, so that we can take a break. Yeah. But I thought our break segment.
Yeah.
Best segment of the day.
Yeah, that was really good. So Suk posed the question, and I think we worked through it in literally 4 minutes.
Yeah,
while you were listening to four ads. We now have contingency plans in place for the death of me, Suk, or Buckley based on the circumstances.
Yes, because circumstances matter. Because I posed the question.
They matter a lot.
What happens if one of us went down on the air? And I do think it. And so this is what we've determined. I said, if one of us goes down and we dial 911, like, what do? You go to break. Ambulance shows up. This is my working theory. If your conscience, as you're being wheeled out, if you can give me the thumbs up as you're being gurneyed away, I think the show continues that day. Then if you die, we get the next day off. I feel if you are unconscious or CPR being applied to you as you wheel out, that ends the show.
Straight to national programming.
Straight to national program.
I agree with that. Now, the question became, Buckley brought up, he's like, well, what if he dies?
Yeah. That's tough.
What do you and I just sit here like talking monkeys? Yeah. He pushes all the buttons. He does all. What do we do?
One of you would have to keep talking while the other one had to figure out how to work the board or at least get us to break.
I think this is my plan. We go in the other side. I get Buck's big corpse out of the way. And you got to work the board and get a hold of Swag. And Swag tells you how to get us to national programming while I have to deal with Buckley's conscious or possibly dying body.
But what airs?
Well, just whatever.
Well, there's nothing on. We're on.
I think you have to. Well, boy, that's tough. I think you are forced at that point to.
You're vamping.
You're
just kind of wheeling.
So
going.
I'm free flowing.
Yes.
You're moving a corpse.
Yes.
Then you're calling Swigard
or whomever. Yeah, to find out how to get to national program.
And then I'm signing off.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I think that's how that has to go down. Believe it or not, Buckley going down would be the biggest barrier to this program.
That would be hard.
Yeah.
But you're right. I think the thing that we determined here, which is important, is if you're having a heart attack and I throw it to SportsCenter, it matters what ends up happening there.
It's a huge difference.
Assuming you're alive and you're going to the hospital.
Yeah.
In what condition are you going to the hospital determines the rest of the program.
I think it boils down to can you give, as you're being wheeled out, can you thumbs up?
Well, but I got to tell you, I might try to weasel out of the rest of the day, even if...
Even with the thumbs up?
Yeah, I'm like, look, I'm really distraught here. I can't keep doing this show. Meanwhile, I could care less. I think you're going to be fine.
Exactly.
But look, I can't do the rest of this program.
Unconscious,
you
though,
deserve better.
Unconscious, the show, it's over.
Well, that does. Well, that's scary.
That's
yes.
scary.
And then you're thinking like, well, you can't do a show under those circumstances.
You can't.
I need a whiskey.
I just love the idea of Buck being like, no, dude, he gave the thumbs up. I didn't see the thumbs up. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay. You don't know that.
You don't know that. Are you a doctor? National programming now.
Well, listen. Buck's had this happen.
Yes.
We can't name names, but it's happened. And it's, you know.
And you know what? I had to tap in on somebody else in the building who had some on-air experience so that one of the other hosts could help someone involved in the show. We needed to bring a fourth man in.
And you kept the show going.
And
huh?
We did.
You guys stayed on the air.
We stayed on
Why?
The air.
Why? Because he was conscious.
Correct.
But he got wheeled out.
Yeah.
But he was conscious.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
But he didn't thumbs up.
Did he thumbs up?
I don't know if he thumbs up because I wasn't there to see that part. I was still running the board.
Hey, the old adage is the show must go on.
The show must go on.
Not this show.
No, not this one.
Enjoy spring training.
See what I can do.
That'll be fun. Buck and I back tomorrow. 3-7 of the thing tonight.
Friendships of Spain. Friendships of Spain.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.